The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Inspector General Gary McNamara. I am Inspector General Eric Harley.
And, no, wait, we got taken to task by one of our listeners.
We got corrected. Listen, this is also proof that what you and I always say, that we are held to a higher standard than any lawmaker or president or justice of the Supreme Court. So are you going to tell the folks what we got corrected on?
Well, we haven't been doing.
What haven't we? Oh, we've also been corrected then. I thought you were going different direction. What have we been doing?
Oh, were we corrected on something?
Yes, the precogs. They weren't all ladies, only one female, two males. They were all siblings.
Oh.
Proof once
from,
again.
From Minority Report.
Yes. No, we just said this the other night, that if we say something out of pop culture and get something wrong, boom. And by the way, thank you, John, on Twitter. John's a great guy. Follows us on Twitter. Thank you.
But he
said, hey, just for the record, only one precog was a female. Well, the other two were males.
And that was me. I'll take the blame.
Well,
I'm the one.
I think I actually said it.
Did you say the three? Okay.
Yeah, I said three. I think I said three females.
Well, you know, it was our mistake for assuming their gender identity.
Oh, yeah. Well, then we'll just throw it back at John. John, you shouldn't assume their gender identity either.
And what we were talking about was yesterday and the day before we've talked about, is this a minority report?
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen the movie Minority Report,
mm-hmm.
Impeachment, because that was a talk over the weekend and late last week that, well, if we don't impeach him and remove him from office, then the 2020 election will be in peril because he will rig it.
Yeah.
And we went, wow, it's Minority Report. There is no crime. We can't find one, but we're sure he's going to commit one, and therefore we need to impeach now before he commits the crime. And then we started talking about, you know, the movie Minority Report, which was based in the future where the precogs that apparently were two men and a women siblings, and I thought they were all women. Sorry.
Hey,
maybe I am right. Maybe John is wrong because maybe his gender assumption was wrong.
Yeah,
or maybe mine was.
Yeah.
But they could see the future, and therefore law enforcement would bust you for crimes that you had not yet committed but were going to commit. I was talking about our listener who emailed us and said, guys, there's Nadler all over the place with his gavels, and you guys haven't been hitting your gavels.
Oh, yeah.
They are still in the studio, just so you know.
Order.
We have our order in the court. Order in the court.
Order. Order.
Could I please call our attorney as a witness?
No.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, but by the way, it's like we're out of witnesses. Who should we call? Oh, how about those two smart guys that were over in the other committee? Oh, yeah, the attorneys. By the way, it was interesting, too, showing the bias of the Democrats' counsel and the fact that he gave $40,000 in donations to liberals, of course. There were tweets that he was engaging in. Clearly political motivation on his part. By the way, I pretty much expect that today. But he was called out for saying this is not a political, you know, that we are not politically motivated. We're investigating. It's an unbiased investigation. Shut up.
Well, we've got so much to talk about here. Just very quickly, my observations. If they're only going to file those two articles of impeachment, I'm blown away.
Yeah.
Now they're considering the third, but right now it's simply abuse of power for going after a political rival, which was Joe Biden.
Right.
And the obstruction of justice, which is nobody's going to cooperate because I think this is a sham investigation, which is, again, a separation of powers argument that, no, the courts would come in, and if the courts demanded you did it and you did not, then that could be obstruction of justice.
Right.
So they've got, I mean, they've got nothing. I mean, it's if that's all, so the bribery's gone now? There's the bribery has
so far it's not in it wasn't out on Monday that again they're putting this together and you and I were talking in the pre-show meeting what's likely going on is the committees are putting this together and they're floating this around the House to make sure that they're going to because you and I talked about it yesterday. Hold on, it is going to be the wording in the articles that is going to really could change things drastically if they're not very. Careful about it. Look, they're making it up as they go along. So anything on abuse of power, obstruction of justice is, again, empty, very empty. There's nothing there. That didn't happen. However, in order to keep the backing of their constituents, the American people, and it would be, by the way, Democrats, the standard of the Democrat rank and file, not the Republican, because there won't be any Republicans in the House voting for this. They have to come up with this pile of garbage. Well, what's more vague than abuse of power? And it really is, I mean, it is purely politically driven. There is no incident here. Obstruction of justice never happened because the courts never got involved. So there is no prosecutorial power given to members of the House.
Well, and because when I was, this is from just in the last hour. House Democrats expected to draft at least two articles of impeachment from the Wall Street Journal. Democrats will likely draft impeaches on abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Aides say there may be a third one, but they don't say what that is.
Right.
You mean bribery doesn't come up? And I have to ask the question. Does bribery not come up? Because if you accuse the president of bribery, well, that they figured, look, it was a dumb thing that Schiff did to say, was this the point? It was a dumb thing for Schiff to say, well, the president committed bribery, but it isn't bribery under our current law. It was bribery under the founding fathers, but not current law now. Now, was it a combination of, they just said, oh, sorry, that was just such a dumb statement, we can't go with that, or the fact is they still planned on going with their new definition of bribery, but if they did, they realized that the accusation could be thrown right back at Biden and there's more evidence,
right?
Whether
right.
it's, you know, under their new definition of bribery, that it was actually Joe Biden because of Hunter that committed bribery.
Yeah,
and
right.
we had said this all along and others had noticed the same thing saying, well, wait a minute, if you're going to do that, then you've got more evidence that exists on emails and from Biden's own statement that he is the one that committed bribery.
Well,
when he was vice president.
Right. Go ahead, and I would say, too, on abuse of power, the first thing I think of is Adam Schiff releasing phone data.
Right.
And you know, gathering that to begin with in a situation that hadn't fully played out yet. What power does he actually have that I believe that's by their own standard and further even that is a clear abuse of power. But you're right. We said it yesterday. We pointed out how Biden speaking a couple of times over the weekend really botched this whole impeachment thing on bribery, at least in the way that he was talking. So by the time he was done talking, they must have been thinking, well, great. We're here trying to protect Biden, and Biden just botched this whole thing for us. So then I could see them on Monday. They probably, by the way, were working on these drafts over the last week, if not longer. And they probably took the bribery draft and just threw it in the trash can after listening to Biden.
Well, but even the abuse of power is going to be a stretch now that we know that Biden won't answer the questions.
Yeah, right.
Has said, well, if I become president, my family can't do this stuff anymore. But you claim there was nothing wrong with what your son did.
Yes, everybody's saying it's a conspiracy theory.
Where you have even the left questioning him. And even here's the other point. You have the other Democratic candidates that want to bring this up because they know that it will hurt Biden with Democrats. Because there is, at the minimum, a perception of a conflict of interest. And with the emails that now exist, where the firm that represented the natural gas company, the Ukrainian natural gas company Burisma, that sent the the correspondence to the Obama State Department saying, we want to have a meeting with you because we want you to lay off. We want you to lay off pressure in our government to investigate the natural gas company. And hey, by the way, Hunter Biden is on our board of directors.
Yeah, right.
And as we said, as soon as those emails came out, we said, look, you can't make that case anymore to the American public. Because there is suspicion of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden now that even Democrats and the mainstream media now recognize. So as long as that exists, you can't make the case that Trump only did it to go after his political rival because he wasn't his political rival yet. You might be able to make that case. It's still not impeachable, but you might be able to make the case that he went after his political rival if the primary was over.
Exactly. If he were the nominee.
I mean, it's just so incredibly weak. You're like, you're really going to go with it. My awe in a completely perverted type of awe way mindset has just been increased in the last hour since I just read the article that had come out that they're expected to draft the two articles of impeachment and what they are. It's like, really? You're really going to go with this?
Well,
really?
You know, I think, too, you go back, what was it, a couple of weeks ago with Adam Schiff saying, well, it's not the, you know, it's not the definition of bribery as you know it. It's how our founding fathers intended bribery and blah, 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 blah. His case was falling apart from day one. His case started falling apart the moment the transcript of the phone call came out. That's when it fell.
Yeah.
That's when everything fell out. It was built on nothing. He thought he was going to do it because he was told. And the Washington Post, I don't know that they realized what they were doing, by the way, when they released that story saying White House counsel right after that phone call with President Trump and the incoming president of Ukraine, White House counsel looked to move that transcript to a classified server. What does that tell you? They're putting it in a vault. It's never going to see the light of day. So then your politically motivated hack activists working inside the White House, you run to a friend, that friend runs to Adam Schiff's office, and Adam Schiff's office says, you need to be a whistleblower so we can protect you so you're not accused of or prosecuted for leaking. And then Adam Schiff's looking at this whole thing saying, well, if it's on a classified server, all they're going to do is deny. That's the only thing they'll be able to do. They'll never release that transcript. And the undoing of this whole thing was that transcript seeing the light of day.
Yep, and you said that it was a couple of weeks ago where I saw different conservative websites, you know, giving Rush the credit for it, and I had to come to your defense because you brought it up weeks before. Not that we're in competition.
No, we're not. We like Rush. Anybody. We like Rush, and we're much better than he is. Snerdly, if you're listening.
No, there's no competition. The mission is the same, to promote conservative ideas. But
the guy that hired me into this job, by the way, 23 years ago, 23 years and one day ago, Tyler Cox was one of his first bosses in talk radio.
Yeah, Tyler hired, and Tyler was part of hiring me too.
Very long term relationship.
Right.
So we love
Rush. So all of our great talent was recognized really by the same person.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
Okay.
We were discovered by the same person. Discovered.
Discovered.
Yes, discovered.
Yeah. We were discovered by the same people.
Yeah, our corporation still wakes up in the middle of the night and says, where's Doug? But we haven't been discovered by the company that employs us now.
Now, you may be wondering that you guys are ignoring the elephant in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not really ignoring it, but we've just been defeated because, you know, Comey has been exonerated and Saint Comey.
Oh, my gosh. This is just so weird. Well, you look at this whole thing and how it went down, and he was one of two subjects that were interviewed by the IG that decided not to have his clearance reinstated. Why? Well, because then the IG, and he knew what he was doing. Because if he had his, there would only be one reason to have your clearance reinstated just for the sake of the interview. That's so that the IG can present to you and discuss a number of classified items. Well, if you say, no, I don't want my clearance reinstated, that means you don't have to answer any questions.
Right.
You can say, I don't recall. In fact,
it was
the
amazing.
IG couldn't probably couldn't even approach certain topics and questions because that would be, well, Horowitz would have been violating policy and his clearance status.
And it was brought up that in the report, it's amazing how little any of the witnesses actually knew. But from, look, we've said this from the very beginning, don't pay attention to any of the politics comes out on day one on this.
Right.
We don't because it's not about politics. It's about connecting the dots. And a ton of dots were connected yesterday. I mean, just a ton of dots, which is extremely damaging to the FBI. And we'll go through it point by point. Everything that we had speculated in the dots that we were attempting to connect were connected, and even in a worse way than we had even speculated.
Right.
There were a couple of things that just, I went, whoa.
Yeah, right.
One of them was the fact that Carter Page, who had apparently worked for the CIA, and remember, he had helped the United States government by some Russian contacts that he had, but he's working for the benefit of the United States.
Yes, right.
And benefiting the United States by telling the United States government what was going on. The FBI used that information and his Russian contacts the opposite, to frame it in an opposite way, that these Russian contacts, this is why we need to investigate them, not giving the proper context to the FISA judges. Well, he was actually helping the United States with these Russian contacts. He wasn't hurting, but they implied that he was hurting the United States, and this is why he needed to be investigated.
Right.
It's going to be incredible to see what the FISA court thinks about all of this.
I hope we learn that one day.
But we'll get to everything coming up. But this was bad.
Yeah.
The spin may be out there in one way because of what Horowitz said. But we'll explain that and more all coming up, plus your calls and comments, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. So apparently, bribery is completely gone. That the third article of impeachment that they're considering, but it doesn't look good right now because they believe it will really make moderates move away. Is a third article of impeachment for obstruction of justice from the Mueller investigation?
Yeah, and there's word that both of the other articles could actually refer to the Mueller investigation if that third article, which would be a second article on obstruction of justice, separate from Ukraine, is not in there. So they want to refer to it to put on display a pattern of behavior by the president. Go ahead.
So bribery's out.
It appears bribery's now not going to happen. Because, by the way, it'll be later this morning, Tuesday morning, and we're going to learn more about the articles of impeachment. We'll see what it looks like. For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
We have a sweeping frontal boundary that'll extend through most of the day today from Detroit down to Dallas. Out ahead of the system, you'll see showers and thundershowers in the Ark-La-Tex region through Mississippi and Louisiana, and then up through the Tennessee and Ohio valleys, where it'll change over to mainly all rain without the thunderstorms. This system will move up through the Northeast today, providing rain showers from Indianapolis over to Columbus, Ohio, the entire state of Pennsylvania and New York, and into the New England states. Cold air behind this front over the next several days, especially in the overnight hours, will produce some icing. High pressure for the central and northern plains means clear skies today. There will be high pressure in the desert southwest. Most of the west coast, after a rainy week dry yesterday, can start to expect some more onshore flow, especially for northern California and Seattle and Washington. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
can listen live on our app, in your app store, or RedEyeRadioShow.com. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. This is maybe why we got the request to use our gavels.
For Mr. Goldman. Mr. Goldman, we're used to committees and people and witnesses coming taking gratuitous shots at people they don't like. And earlier today, in your testimony, you made a comment that really goes with an interesting thing, and I'll even go back to the chairman questioning motive. When your testimony, you said, as you were discussing Mr. Sondland, you made a very snide comment, your facial expression showed, that he was a $1 million donor to the president. The implication being he either got his job because he bought it, or his implication was he was loyal to the president and say anything about it. Be very careful about how you throw around dollars in giving, because you and Mr. Burke are real heavy donors to the Democratic Party, and I'm not going to say it questions your motives or your position here today, but we need to make sure that this thing is already blown out of proportion. We're already not answering questions, and you are here without a pen because your chairman will not testify. That says all we need to hear. He don't even stand behind his own report, and he sends you. I hope it works out for you. I'm done. At this point, I turn it over to Ashley.
Can I respond? Are you trying to say that I what are you trying to say? What is the implication here? But by the way, I didn't give anything close to $1 million remotely, so I don't know.
The implication is we want Schiff in that chair, not you. The implication is the person that wrote the report is the person that should come and present it, and you weren't elected by anybody, and you're here giving this testimony in place of the chairman. I hope that clears up the implication.
The gentleman does not have the time, and the gentleman has been warned before.
There you go.
That's Matt Gaetz.
Yes.
Doing a pretty stellar job today, because here's the thing. Republicans, if the gloves are off, if it is scorched earth, then bring it on. If you're going to make up rules where in the other committee, in the House Intelligence Committee, Republicans are barred from asking certain questions and can't call the witnesses they want to call, then guess what? All bets are off.
It was interesting because part of his testimony was that, you know, Sondland had implicated the president. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you got to be kidding. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how poor your case is, because we know that was just, well, he presumed it. But when he actually talked to the president, he never talked to anybody who actually said it. It was just presumed.
Right.
And they're actually using that as evidence. It's just, it's mind boggling. But we're trying to cover two things today, both the impeachment or the articles of impeachment, which are supposed to come out tomorrow, and also the Inspector General's report. Look, Comey came out and said that basically he's been exonerated in this entire thing. There was no conspiracy. There was no treason. Well, did you ever accuse Comey of treason?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I never accused Comey of
treason. I don't even remember saying conspiracy. Now, we know the two lovers did. And so unless that was some kind of weird threesome, I don't think that he was in on their little get-togethers.
What we said was that the dot we are trying to connect is that the FISA warrant, which was bogus, and they knew was bogus, was sold to the FISA court, and they knew that it wasn't legit.
Yeah.
That's all correct and in the IG report. Now, you can say it was seven mistakes in the first FISA warrant and another 10 mistakes in the rest of the FISA warrants. And you can say, as an inspector general, that they were mistakes, but that was due to the low threshold of the rules and regulations of the FBI at that time.
Right.
Well, I think I'd like to hear the FISA court response to the fact of having a low threshold is somehow justifiable. I can't wait for that question to come up. That's almost like saying that a police department has a low threshold that doesn't pass a court's or the law or the court's rules and regulations for the law, but because the FBI has low standards, the law somehow doesn't apply.
Well, because here's the thing. If that is the case, then that indeed comes from leadership. I can't imagine with oversight the way it is that is the case. Because remember, it was Comey himself that talked about it a couple of different times when talking to lawmakers on Capitol Hill. You know, I thought some patriotic music was going to start playing when he started talking about protecting the integrity of all the great agents that are working in the field. You didn't do that.
No.
You ran like a 13-year-old wanting to spill the beans to your professor friend so it could get to the media.
Getting to some of the specifics here in the report, this in the report, quote, we determined that the Crossfire Hurricane team's receipt of Steele's election reporting on September 19th, 2016, that's the dossier, played a central and essential role in the FBI's and the department's decision to seek a FISA order. They knew it was bogus.
Yeah. Yep. They did.
And they still used it anyway. How is that? How can that be just classified as a mistake? Now, one thing that it did do, though, it does show that Adam Schiff is, and we know, lied.
Yes.
It's another lie from Adam Schiff. This from 2018 and Schiff's memo.
Yeah.
FBI and Department of Justice officials did not abuse the FISA process or omit material information. Also claimed the FBI did not rely much on the dossier. That's completely false. As we know, they did abuse the FISA process. The IG says they did.
Yes.
But he classifies all of it as mistakes, and because of the low threshold of the rules and regulations of the FBI. He doesn't say the low threshold of the FISA court, though.
No, he doesn't. Which is interesting because you and I noted it was somewhere around February of 2018. It was in that first quarter, maybe the second quarter of 2018, that it had been discovered that the number of FISA warrants issued in 2017 was dramatically lower from the year before. Our question then was, why? Did they see something wrong in the process? Did the FISA courts see something that was out of place, something that was missing? Or did they discover this on their own? Going back to October of 2016, the Obama administration approached the FISA courts and said, yeah, we know you rebuked this going back to 2011. And by the way, John Solomon, Sarah A. Carter, when they were at Circa News, they delivered the documents from the court that showed this, that in October, just days before the 2016 election, the Obama administration approached the FISA courts and said, yeah, we haven't been doing that. We know that you told us to stop doing that, but we haven't been doing that. They admitted that to the court. Yeah. So did that change something? Did the courts review something? Was there a general thought, some kind of review of the process as a result of that or anything else? I'm curious to see what the FISA court thinks.
Here is more here from the IG report. Much of that information, the dossier and more, was inconsistent with or undercut the assertions contained in the FISA applications that were used to support probable cause and, in some instances, resulted in inaccurate information being included in the FISA applications. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, and remember, 17 different mistakes. Seven in the first FISA warrant.
Right.
10 in the subsequent FISA warrants that, again, was inconsistent or undercut the assertions contained in the FISA applications that were used to support probable cause and in some instances resulted in inaccurate information being included in FISA applications. Wow. Which he's saying the information to get the FISA warrant was bogus. Exactly what we have said all along.
And by the way, something that Devin Nunes, if you look at that, Devin Nunes has been talking about this for, it seems like forever, but the past couple of years, the better part of 2 years, he's been discussing this. And it shows that, you know, that Adam Schiff's report from early 2018 was wrong. He was lying about it then. Everybody knew he was lying about it. And everything that Devin Nunes was putting out was good work. The problem that you and I have is that until we see something, until we see further evidence of something, it's hard to comment and know what's true and what isn't. I mean, these are people that sit on the House Intelligence Committee, and we're not privy to what they see. We don't put full trust in a Devin Nunes. We certainly don't put any trust in Adam Schiff, who has been lying through his teeth on a number of items all along the way,
but it shows Nunes was right on in his memo that that came out.
Yep.
The other thing is, and this is something again, which was I think new to a lot of people. We suspected it, but to hear this, the FBI also failed to tell the court that Carter Page was approved as quote an operational contact. They believe it was for the CIA. They don't state CIA. They say for another U.S. agency. And candidly reported his interactions with a Russian intel officer. The FBI instead used that Russian interaction against Page without any exculpatory details, saying, well, he was working for the United States government to help us. They used it to imply to the FISA court that he was in contact with the Russians to hurt the United States. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just when you forget about the politics. Connecting the dots is what it's all about. So I wasn't surprised at all that Durham came out with a statement saying, look, I disagree with the conclusions. One of the conclusion that there was no politics or anything nefarious here.
Right.
All these different mistakes. And that's the entire point I was telling you. This is almost as if a CEO of a group of the management of a particular company, they all repeatedly get picked up for DUI over and over and over again. All right. And the police are doing an investigation on it. The police have arrested them. But there's multiple instances of all these corporate leaders for a particular company, DUIs over and over and over again. Well, there's an internal review. And the internal review says, well, there were mistakes that were made, but we don't have access to the breathalyzer machines. Right. And of course,
field tests, any other field test that was done or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Can be taken in a number of ways. And we have talked to these people who refuse to comment. And so we have no evidence that they actually did anything wrong. It was more the culture or the low standard that existed in the company that everybody went out and partied and drank and then drove afterwards. That's the closest that I can come to what the inspector general actually did.
Right, right.
Because when we interviewed all of them, they really refused to talk at all. So I don't have the evidence that they actually did anything wrong because we don't have the breathalyzers.
Well, it's interesting that Chuck Ross from the Daily Caller tweeted, it's not so much that the FBI opened up an investigation on the Trump campaign. The bar is low. It's that the FBI buried information that should otherwise have warranted ending the investigation much earlier than it was.
Yes,
and that's that exculpatory evidence that would say, okay, this is no longer warranted. This is and we're done here. And they buried that information. By the way, Molly Hemingway, Kimberly Strassel, Chuck Ross, a number of people, I want to say the usual suspects, but that sounds, devious. But the very, very good reporting on this throughout the day yesterday.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Yeah, that's the one thing when you focus on this before you even get to the FISA warrant, as you were just saying, Eric, because in an incredulous way, that they knew that Carter Page was an approved contact for the CIA.
He was
who it was.
Yeah, he was an operational contact for the CIA and fully approved. And they never told the court that.
Fully approved that was helping the United States with the Russian contacts. And they made it. The FBI made it. As now, the thing is, if he was, you would have had to say, okay, He's turned on us.
Yes, he's a double agent. We believe now, and we need to monitor him in a different way.
But instead of taking the fact that he was an approved contact of the CIA and helped the United States with the Russian contacts, they made it seem to the FISA court that those Russian contacts is what should make him more suspicious, and left out that he was an approved contact for the CIA, which changes the changes everything, and that's considered a mistake.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
They just happened to forget part of it.
But the important part is not what the opinion is of the inspector general. It's the connection of the dots that goes to Durham.
Which is exactly what we have been talking about. It is not the role of the IG's office to go out and build a criminal case or have a much deeper investigation. His scope was limited. He has a very limited role. But this report is damaging.
Yes, it is.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Hurley.
This hour is brought to you by Freightliner. Run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Understand as we go through all of this, this is a 500-page report. You know, the summary, yes, easier to read, but and it's going to be interesting to see how Horowitz responds to what I believe will be some very intense questioning coming from Republicans. But it's important to understand, and we said this when the impeachment began, and we said, look, don't get caught up in the daily ups and downs of the emotion that the mainstream media, the instant conclusions that they will come to, which then gets response from the other side. It is the slow gathering of facts that eventually gets you to the truth. What Comey said yesterday, President accused me of treason and conspiracy. It's all false. It's all false. It's all false. Schumer saying the same thing, that the GOP is becoming the, you know, conspiracy theory side of it all. You can get back and forth into the name calling that goes on. Remember, the president was accused of bribery just a week ago, and now bribery has been dropped. So rhetoric flies back and forth all the time. It is what we have always said. We have looked at everything from the investigative mindset and not the political mindset. We have attempted to connect dots. To me, it is to a prosecutor to eventually come up and convince a jury that once those dots are connected, what the intent was behind that behavior. We can speculate what it is. We can give, I think, good calculated analysis based on the evidence that exists right now. I do think that he will be taken to task for claiming, because when you have 17 mistakes, when does it rise to the level of gross incompetence?
Right.
Because it has to be one of these things. Either the standards were so low in the FBI that they all have justifiably been fired.
Right. Not just Comey, everybody.
Right. That they all justifiably be fired because, well, the standards were extremely low, where complete, think about this, that complete, inaccurate, contradictory, exculpatory evidence that would kill your warrant, taking something, for example, Carter Page helping the government and turning it around to the FISA court that he was actually hurting the government in order to get a secret warrant, is all viewed as a mistake with no ill will intent whatsoever. The 7 mistakes on the initial FISA warrant and the 17 mistakes on all of the warrants that the primary, remember now, because we know this now, that the substance behind getting all those warrants was the complete lies of the dossier, which was paid for and put together by a Trump hater and by the Clinton campaign, the money paid by the Clinton campaign and the DNC. Wow.
And it's because otherwise it is and, you know, we don't have to use the word conspiracy, but it is a deliberate set of actions by a number of people.
Yes. But call it whatever. We won't, if those words offend you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We will stay away from the words that offend you, but still bring you the actual facts of the case that hopefully offend you.
Yeah. and there's the point with Mr. Comey. Okay, no conspiracy. That means gross incompetence. And it starts with you, because you were director at that time. So thanks for admitting it.
Absolutely gross incompetence. People that should have never, ever been in the FBI. And until we hear from the FISA court on this, specifically on this, a FISA court system that ought to be dismantled right now.
Right.
Because if what went on can get you a secret warrant to spy, to have one administration spy on another campaign.
Right.
To do surveillance and spy on another campaign, and you use, well, let me actually get right to what they said. You use information that was inconsistent or undercut the assertions contained in the FISA application that were used to support probable cause, and in some instances resulted in inaccurate information being included in FISA applications. Then the whole damn thing should be just eliminated.
Yes.
Because you can't trust government on secret warrants. Because remember, what this was is one administration spying by using false information on the opposition's campaign.
Right.
Using false information and using the dossier. Forget about the inaccuracies that they talk about right there. Much of the information was inconsistent or undercut the assertions contained in the FISA applications, but the whole dossier itself was bogus.
Right.
The evidence was bogus, and then they changed everything surrounding the evidence in order to convince the FISA judges to give them a FISA warrant.
Well, it's interesting because in January of 2017, which was the month, that's when Comey was briefing the incoming president. That same month, they learned that the dossier, the whole tapes, and everything, all the other claims in the dossier were completely unfounded. And Molly Hemingway pointing out, it's nearly 3 years later that the American public is just finding that out.
And they use it in the intelligence assessment, which gets back to Evelyn Farkas.
Exactly.
And getting that all through in order to destroy the credibility of the 2016 election, and they knew it was false.
Right.
Like I said, on the substance of the issue, Democrats, you can't win. If you believe yesterday was a win, you're delusional.
Well, you're lying to yourself or you're lying to others. Yep. It's one of the two.
Because either it is absolutely gross incompetence, which I don't believe that, by the way.
No.
But that's what the inspector general is attempting to get you to believe. Mm-hmm. Because when do mistakes, when do a number of mistakes, when do seven mistakes on a secret warrant, on an application to a secret warrant, which were inaccurate, and even not even just the evidence inaccurate, but that the FBI left out exculpatory evidence to make it seem like Carter Page had Russian contacts to hurt the United States, when actually he was an approved operative by another agency, the CIA, in helping the United States, and they reversed it. And they view that as just a mistake. He's going to be taking a task for this Wednesday.
By the way, Horowitz will, and by the way, Comey caught lying on Twitter, saying he had offered to go on Fox and Friends, and he tweeted that. He said, I was going to go on Fox and Friends, and they just canceled. So Daily Caller calls over to Fox News and says, can you confirm, you know, that he was booked and that you guys canceled? They issued a statement to the Daily Caller News Foundation. James Comey was not booked and was never confirmed to appear on Fox and Friends. And then, after that, you had Maria Bartiromo come out. Hey, we'd love to have you on. And then Brett Baer. Oh, we'd love to have you on.
Yeah, I saw that.
We'll pre-tape it if you want.
Right.
Because Comey's a liar. And he's pretending like he is high and mighty. And you said something during the break a little while ago. You notice how there's nobody really reaching out to defend Comey. What does that tell you?
Or the substance of the report.
Exactly.
All you hear is, he didn't find any conspiracy or political conspiracy here. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, let's go through what he did find point by point by point by point, and then ask the questions which come to, well, are his conclusions accurate, or is he simply saying that, look, I couldn't get anybody to go on record, nobody wanted to talk, so I don't have the ability to gather the evidence to see whether there was actually a political or illegal motive here. I'm just pointing out all the mistakes.
Right. No documented evidence, which you're likely not going to find. They're not going to leave a paper trail of saying, hey, we're going to go and take Trump down. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get those kind of documents just laying around in any agency.
Except if it may be Strzok's email.
Yeah, or his text messages trying to impress his girlfriend.
Right.
But that entire process, though, if you think about it, if you look at everything, you talk about a gross abuse of power on how many levels here? Because you cannot convince me that this many so-called mistakes were made. This is deliberate actions. Yeah. And this is why you have a federal prosecutor in place now to look even further, because that investigation can go as far as he wants it. Well, his scope is as wide as the American soil.
If you notice yesterday, nobody on the other side, nobody on the left, none of the Democrats were talking about the substance of what was actually in the report,
right,
in connecting the dots and what the FBI actually, they didn't go through the specifics of what the mistakes were and ask that question. When you have mistakes that are so outrageous, can they all be viewed as just mistakes with no motivation whatsoever? Because that's what they're trying to make you believe, right?
Right.
Exactly. Oh, there was nothing here. Nothing here. It was all made up. Everything was. No, actually, the allegations that were being made now actually look worse than what were being speculated.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, I think it's so bad the deeper you get into this, because it really is important to know that this report and what we will learn from this report ultimately is going to be rolling out over the next several days and points. And the puzzle being put together is the key, because Horowitz wasn't ever going to do that. That's really not his point. He's going to say, here's what we found. And essentially, the analysts of the world will put that together. And it's pretty damning already.
If you want to get in, we do have a line open. Would love to hear from you. We're talking the articles of impeachment supposed to come out today, two of them, and also the IG report from yesterday. What's on your mind? 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on winter weather driving. Be deliberate. As roads deteriorate and visibility diminishes, it's understandable to have anxious moments while driving. When those times come, and they inevitably will if you're driving through snowy areas, just remember to never react suddenly. Braking, accelerating, and turning are all types of actions that could go wrong in a lot of ways if you're not careful. Take these situations much more seriously. Gently tap the brakes if you need to. Reduce your regular speed so that you have more time to adjust to adverse situations. And slow down if you need to turn a corner to avoid colliding with other vehicles or objects. And always remember, if it's too bad out there, don't go on the road. No trip is worth your safety. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye,
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
You know, we asked how will Horowitz respond. Will he say, look, I couldn't find the smoking gun email. And I was reading Kimberly Strassel, who wrote last point, when the IG says he found no documentary evidence of bias, he means just that. He didn't find the smoking gun email that says, let's take out Trump. And it isn't his job to guess at the motivations of FBI employees. Instead, he straightforwardly lays out facts. Those facts produce a pattern of FBI playing the FISA court, overstating some info, omitting other info, cherry-picking details. Americans can look at the totality and make their own judgment as to why the FBI behaved in such a manner, as, by the way, Durham will also do.
Yeah, right. There are so many things from this report. I mean, if you look at it and you take each of these separate items, they're all a whole entire case in and of themselves, each one of them. A number of things that happened here that warrant an investigation. Because if you say that, if you try and make the claim that the FBI was warranted in the investigation of Carter Page, especially after this report, then you cannot, for one second, legitimately make the case that looking into all of this now and the origins of it now by a federal prosecutor and the attorney general is not warranted. You can't say that. There were so many items here in this report that are worthy of a full investigation, a separate investigation, each of them. Because look at how many different players you have.
All of our suspicions that we have had for probably the last 2 years, because we started really coming up and being suspicious of a lot of things in probably April, May, and June, and July of 2017 when we started asking questions. Every single question that we asked and suspicion that we have has come true. The dots have been connected, and the IG report has helped to finalize the connection of those and even more.
Yeah. Yeah, it was there. There's more to this report than I think a lot of people expected, because it really focused. The general question that most people had was how legitimate was the warrant or the subsequent renewals of the warrant.
Also, the inspector general criticized the FBI for using what was supposed to be a briefing for the Trump campaign on foreign intelligence threats as an opportunity to investigate Flynn. And he said that was wrong of them to do. Wow.
Well, because
does Flynn's lawyer now use that?
I think she does. I think given what has happened and transpired and what she pointed out in terms of the documents that were changed by the FBI, surrounding that investigation of Flynn, you add to it this, the approach itself. We said something different back then. We said, okay, wait a minute. He's the incoming national security advisor. In that role, you've got a couple of lead agents show up and they want to discuss a couple of things with you. It is not, he was never told he was the focus of the investigation. He's the incoming national security advisor who answers to one guy, the president. And so you say that he misled you about something. Look, that essentially is a courtesy. If you want to get into the dynamics of a relationship between the FBI or any other agency and the national security advisor.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised when Horowitz actually testifies if he doesn't help Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And not help Comey in all of this.
Right, right.
Have more flexibility after the election. Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley, 866-90 Red Eye.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. Drivers, you probably already know that Celadon Group Incorporated, a fairly large trucking company, shuttered its doors. There's a number of things out there, a lot of information about the drivers, the company drivers, and what's happened to them and everything else. But there's a really good story at FreightWaves, freightwaves.com, that I'm going to share on Twitter. And so you can go to my Twitter page and check out this this story. It has great information as to what's happening with some of the actual competitors or former now competitors of Celadon and how they're helping some of these Celadon drivers and maybe get them back to work very quickly. So I'm going to share that here in just a moment on my Twitter page at Eric Harley. You can follow along and check this out and share it with any of the former Celadon drivers that you know. And maybe this can help them get back to work right away. This is a horrible time of year, of course, to be out of work. And this happened fairly quickly. This decision came down on Friday and was announced over the weekend. But again, I'll share that here in just a few minutes. You can also follow along at redeyeradioshow.com.
866-90 Red Eye. Just, it's interesting because you don't see a lot of analysis. And I'm looking for, you know, different pieces from the left. Actually looking at the substance of the connecting of the dots of the Inspector General's report, and you really don't. There's a couple of straw arguments being made out there. Schumer, or the former FBI Director James Comey doing it. See, there was no treason, there was no conspiracy. Well, we never made those allegations of treason to begin with, because everybody misuses the term of treason. I was reading, this is even before the report came out, Kimberly Strassel saying, don't lose focus. Democrats and media scribes want to now claim the Inspector General report is about whether the FBI was allowed to investigate the Trump campaign. That's a straw man. The FBI has sweeping powers to investigate. Nobody has ever denied that. Horowitz was instead asked to investigate whether the FBI abused its powers as part of its probe, namely, if it abused the FISA process, was it honest to the court about its sources that include exculpatory evidence? Did it doctor anything? And we know, was it honest with the court about its sources? No. Did it include all the exculpatory evidence? No. Did it doctor anything? Yes. And it's as simple. If the FBI can't be honest with the FISA court, how can Americans believe it is being honest with the American public? And the other thing, thank you for Molly Hemingway. It seems like he's staying up all night reading all 500 pages of it. A couple of tweets that she put out, and we had just talked about the whole Michael Flynn thing. The FBI used Trump's, quote, strategic intelligence briefing to collect info on Flynn. Briefings rely on the expectation of trust and good faith among participants. The FBI's use of such briefings for investigative purposes potentially interferes with this expectation, end of quote, the IG notes. Also, the IG, the review, quote, identified significant concerns with how aspects of the Trump investigation were conducted and supervised, particularly the FBI's failure to adhere to its own standards of accuracy and completeness, end of quote. And it refers to when seeking the warrants to surveil Carter Page. Well, on one hand, we hear the justification is the incredibly low standards. And then in other parts of the report, we see that the inspector general is saying that the FBI failed to adhere to its own standards of accuracy and completeness.
Yeah,
that's a quote.
Right. So which is it?
So, it's, I mean, you just, but the important part is, again, is, as we have said before, and if you've listened to this show from the very, very beginning of this, we said, well, look, we're going to look at this as investigators and not political partisans.
Mm.
Politics comes into it, but when it comes to what are the facts, this was a really damning report.
Yep.
As to the actual facts about the FBI. It was worse than had been speculated.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually worse.
It is. I think there are so many things here, and Molly tweeting just a little while ago, she has read through, as she keeps reading through this, she's found dozens and dozens of these so-called mistakes by the FBI and Department of Justice, and it just happens that each of these mistakes worked against Trump.
Right.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
It's Horowitz probably isn't going to say it on Wednesday, but if you have any, if you've ever watched one episode of any cop show, you can see it. And if you can't see it, you're either lying to yourself or you're lying to others. It is very clear. You just don't want to see it.
When you have so many mistakes in a secret warrant, when does it go from being a mistake to a calculated behavior to deceive the secret court?
Exactly.
That would be the question. Yes. I would ask Horowitz.
Well, because there and someone used it. I don't remember if it was Kimberly Strassel or Molly Hemingway or a number of the people that I've been following and their analysis of this throughout the day yesterday. But somebody said that, you know, that they're, you know, they were playing the FISA courts. And that's actually the way to put it. They had clearly put in and I think the term cherry picking was used, too. They cherry-picked some information. They left out other key information. I think one of the biggest pieces of information that they left out was the fact that Carter Page was an approved asset working for the CIA.
Yeah.
He was somebody who was actually working and benefiting the United States in that role, and that was never brought up
and
to the FISA courts.
They portrayed that his contacts, they implied, they didn't say. They talked about his Russian contacts, but didn't imply those Russian contacts were used to help the United States and benefit the United States.
Right.
And leaving out that information gave you the impression that he should be under suspicion.
Right.
Instead of that, no, he would have to be a turncoat.
Right. Which you at that point, you would have to show. Here's why we believe
he turned. Right.
And I mean, this is basic. I mean, this is about as basic as it gets in investigations and laying everything out there, and things that we suspected for a long time have been revealed now, and it will be amazing to see when this entire puzzle is put together on the prosecutorial level, what it will look like.
I had a very, very busy day yesterday, and I was out helping a sick friend, had to run errands for a sick friend and take care of a ton of business. So I'm out in out in the vehicle doing stuff. So I'm just getting bits and pieces of it. And the bits and pieces of it I'm getting from looking at my phone.
Right, right.
So, you know, we've seen what has happened, you know, what was leaked over the last couple of weeks. And then when I saw the initial thing, I'm thinking, you and I are thinking in the investigative way. Well, in order to come to this conclusion, it means all these things that we speculated must not have been true. Right?
Right.
All these dots, we cannot be connected. Well, interesting, by the time I get back home, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday, and start analyzing what's actually in the report, I see not only are everything that we had speculated, and the dots that we suspected would connect. Not only did they connect, but they actually went further. There was more damning evidence against it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute. How can you come to this conclusion? The only ways you could come to that conclusion is if you couldn't connect the dots. They connected all the dots and more. The substance of the report of it was damning, and was more. The substance of the report was more damning than thought. And the conclusion being promoted by the mainstream media by Comey is that there was nothing there and everybody's been exonerated. It's like, whoa. That's not the case.
I mean, if you look at the potential here now for a number of cases that would come out of this abuse of power, perjury on how many different levels, by the way, it's shaping up to be what we thought it was. I think when history looks back on this, they will see this as the largest political scandal in American history, and it won't be long to put that all together.
Well, and one thing we have wanted from the beginning is we're finding out the truth.
Right.
People may come to different conclusions on the truth, but it's very tough to actually discuss what is in this report and come out and say this was a positive and Comey has been exonerated when it's completely the opposite. It is a damning report as to the behavior of the FBI. Now, either it was calculated because of politics, or they are completely incompetent. We need to shut down the FBI. We need to shut down the FISA court because it's all been tainted with complete incompetence with people of the mentality of three-year-olds.
Yes.
One or the other.
Well, I mean, if you think about this, it is the mindset that we've been talking about. All right, great, Comey, it's not a conspiracy. It's even worse. It is a mindset of people who were deeply embedded into different agencies and had a great deal of power. Because, you know, the thing about Mr. Comey, instruct you on a couple of things here. Number one, you're a liar. I'm not sure if you know that. But number two, the thing about a conspiracy is its failure is that eventually someone is going to talk. Someone is going to turn and say, this is wrong that we're doing this. When it is a change of mindset, when it is in your heart to go after one person, in the case of candidate Donald Trump and then President Donald Trump, that's a deep-seated hatred, and it knows no end. We saw it in the angry face that Peter Strzok put on when he was testifying. If you didn't get it from that, then you were just ignoring the facts. And if you don't get it from this entire report that demonstrates the behavior of a number of individuals, no, it's not a conspiracy. It's worse. It's hearts and minds that are determined based on their hatred, their disdain for a person to do great damage to them. That's what you have here. That's a lot worse than a conspiracy.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour is sponsored by Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Let's head to you. We go to John in New York City. John, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, Eric and Gary? How are you?
Very good. What's up?
Not much. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
What do you call it? There's a saying in... I guess my vacation that I work at, to evaluate a new guy's character, we take a look and see if the person, all the mistakes that they make, whether it goes in their favor or not. And if all the mistakes that they make benefit them, we say, oh yeah, wink, wink, the guy's dumb as a fox. Similarly, you take a look at this whole thing with the Pfizer situation and Horowitz's, I guess, report analyzing all of it. If there's 17 mistakes that all go in favor of surveilling a president's campaign,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just happened to.
Dumb as a fox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, thank you, John. That's a great point. They just can't all be mistakes if they only all go in one direction.
Well, you know.
Going in one direction, all the mistakes that are made can lead you and can lead a jury in a court of law to your actual intent and motivation.
Yeah. It just happens that all of those mistakes. And, you know, Molly's, you know, again, she's up late reading through the report. Molly Hemingway, the Federalist, Fox contributor. She made the point, you know, kind of like John's got the street smarts. And it's like, okay, I'm looking at that guy, the new guy, and all of his mistakes favor him. And she was saying dozens of so-called mistakes, and all of them work against Trump. What a coincidence, you know, tongue in cheek. It's not, and of course, she knows full well, and we all know it's not a coincidence. That's deliberate behavior. That is deliberate behavior by a number of people. The question is, who was responsible for it? And that's where the real investigation begins. Who knew about that? Because we go back to Evelyn Farkas. You know, when she was on, I told you that when we watched the video, we played the audio for our audience. When we were watching the video, it was like she was saying something, and I felt that at the end of it, she kind of looked at the other, you know, the hosts at that on that desk, and was saying, wait, what, why are you looking at me that way? What did I just say? Because it looked like she was spilling the beans. She was throwing her former colleagues kind of under the bus, because you and I said, well, wait a minute. That's not a good thing. We wanted to get this to our friends on the Hill before it was squashed by the incoming administration.
You
That's
know,
not a positive.
You know, she's running for Congress.
Yeah, right. Good luck to her.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, RedEyeRadioShow.com, where we stream live. Or you can get our app and listen at your convenience, or listen live, whatever.
Yeah, right, so. Right.
Well, the Firehouse Optimist poll conducted in December shows President Trump ahead of his Democratic opponents, even former Vice President Joe Biden, who remains one of the stronger candidates opposing the president. There's from Breitbart here on the Firehouse Optimist poll. Biden is 5 points below Trump in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and 9 points below Trump in Wisconsin. Prior polls from Firehouse Strategies shows Biden competing evenly with Trump in states like Michigan or beating him in the states of Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, Biden went from a 12-point lead of President Trump in March to 9 points below the president in December. Trump has similar or stronger leads over Democratic candidates Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and Senator Bernie Sanders. Bloomberg also loses big to the president, the poll shows. Impeachment is not popular with battleground state voters either. Around 51% of voters in Michigan, 52.2% of voters in Pennsylvania, and 57.9% of voters in Wisconsin oppose impeachment and removal of the president.
Yeah.
So there you go. The latest there on the battleground states. Look, they're trying to accelerate this thing really, really quick.
Yeah. I think it you get, because if you look at things like obstruction of justice, abuse of power, You know, they become these broad terms, you know, because we asked and we've been asking for the last couple of days, how do you write up the articles? I mean, they're going to have to get specific on things, and you simply do it in these two cases as the, you know, political hackery that it is, because it's based on nothing, that there was no abuse of power. There was no obstruction of justice. Because to my knowledge, Gary, maybe I'm wrong on this. I'm sure I could be wrong. Actually, I'm not. There was no judge that ever told anyone to do something, and then that person, being whether it's a Trump staffer, Trump lawyer, a White House attorney, or anyone in the administration, rejected the courts. That would be obstruction of justice. There was no, in fact, it's the opposite of obstruction when you offer up the actual transcript.
Yeah, and just so people know, the information has come out that the Democrats plan right now on two articles of impeachment, just to move off the IG report here for a second. We're trying to cover both,
right?
Because it's really breaking news on both of them. But what blows my mind is that it's abuse of power for trying to get a foreign government to investigate a political rival, which would have been Joe Biden. But there's no bribery. There's no quid pro quo. And then the other one is apparently obstruction of justice for what you just total bogus charge.
Right.
And so is abuse of power. Because,
exactly. Yeah.
Because now that we know that Democrats are wary about Biden because of what he said, and Hunter Biden, working for the Ukrainian gas company, and the emails that have come out, you can't make the case that there was nothing there. Because Democrats now are suspicious of Biden and what his possible motivations were and what his son was doing. So you've just lost that. And so, interesting that bribery is now gone. That's got, because the third one that they're considering would be obstruction of justice in the Mueller investigation.
Right.
I mean, it's just.
Yeah, right.
It's
well,
just.
Which is so bizarre, because we said, and that came up, it was a couple of weeks ago, that they were looking back at things that, you know, in the whole Mueller thing to go back to. And we said, well, man, that's not leapfrogging. That's just totally going backwards. And, of course, according to some sources and blah, 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 the word is on Capitol Hill right now that those moderate Democrats aren't in the House, are not on board with bringing anything from the Mueller thing into this. They want to stick to the narrow scope. And, by the way, it's not a narrow scope on Ukraine. And keep it there, keep the focus there. But then they say, well, but there could be references to establish a pattern. There could be references to the whole Mueller investigation. Go ahead, write that up.
Well, if they're moving as it's being reported, if there's only going to be two articles of impeachment, because the third one, it looks like from the latest reports that they're not. There's too many moderates that say, no, just keep it at Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But if it's true that there's only two, and one is abuse of power and the other is obstruction of justice because Trump said, no, this is illegitimate impeachment, I'm not going to cooperate, which, of course, that's not obstruction of justice. If, again, if a court ordered him to do it and he refused, and Congress could make that point.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't. I mean, it's dumb. It's actually dumb for them to be doing that. And the abuse of power, again, is nothing. Because remember, quid pro quo and bribery is gone.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's
gone. Yeah.
It doesn't exist
anymore. It's not there.
Think about it. If that's gone and that's not listed tomorrow in the article of impeachment, as we're being told by Democratic sources that it is not included in there, you know how it had to kill them to walk away from bribery.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's nothing that polled better than bribery.
Right. Exactly.
And so they said, and remember how that all happened. They focus grouped and said, oh, focus group loves if we say bribery.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Can we convince them? No, nothing under the current law. All right. Let's tell them that Schiff, go out there and just lie again.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Lie and say.
Do what you do best.
Yeah, just lie again and say, well, look, it's not bribery under our current laws, but it's bribery by how the founding fathers looked at it. Yeah. We said that was such a dumb statement and false to begin with that they eventually had to just abandon that. So quid pro quo abandoned, bribery abandoned. So now it's simply that you asked. The abuse of power is simply that you asked for an investigation, not that you tied it into any money going to them. That's gone, apparently.
Right.
Wow.
Well, and just and so I think you're looking at, again, those broad terms, obstruction of justice. That has a little bit of a technical, you know, aspect to it, right? Go out on the street and ask anybody, what constitutes obstruction of justice? Can you give me some examples? So it is the it is that broad terminology, abuse of power. Well, you can get the moderate Democrats, the rank and file, I mean, to look at those and go, yeah, okay, that was wrong for him to do that. And, well, but it doesn't. First of all, there was no abuse of power. The president can set foreign policy, and forever, every president has been able to do just that. And if you know anything about what this particular president, who he has been all of his famous life,
but
he's been promoting that for a long time.
They're not going to the foreign policy. They've decided they're abandoning that. They're only going from what it seems like. They're only going. You wanted a foreign government to investigate a political rival. That's
it. Biden. But my point is that he was looking at it saying, I'm not going to give taxpayer money to you guys until you do something about your corruption.
Right. But that's not part of the articles of impeachment, apparently. They're only using Biden, not the general that he wanted them to look at corruption into the election. It's only Biden. That's the interesting thing.
That's like CNN and the other, was it MSNBC? Editing the transcript. That's exactly what they're doing. They're narrowing the scope so small that you can't include the facts. Otherwise, your article is done.
Right.
Because it was the president setting foreign policy by saying, if you guys don't do something about corruption, the general thought was, we want you guys to do something about the corruption there. And it included Biden. And that's the only thing they're focusing on.
Yes.
He had the absolute right, still does, to focus on that with an incoming president in a conversation.
He has an absolute right to look to sit there, and if he believes there is corruption of another politician, whether it's an opposition, you know, potential opposition candidate or not, he has a right to say, look, I believe that there's a possibility of corruption here. You should look into it. Well, with everything that's come out since, with the emails and Biden and how the Democrats now view it, the Democrats are suspicious of Biden that something went on there. You can't say that it was, well, I just asked him to investigate a completely innocent with nothing there at all, just a general candidate. You can't make that argument. And so that's why that's even weak.
I mean, it is
just amazing.
It's what's interesting too, is that the report, is this why Nancy wanted to get this thing done? The IG report, look at it. I mean, just the one thing about Carter Page being a legitimate asset for the CIA, and the fact that in and of itself should have just brought the whole thing down and stopped the investigation if it had been disclosed to the FISA court. Think about that. So if you believe, if you're trying to defend, if anybody's trying to defend, you could still go after a Carter Page. Well, then you must believe that it was legitimate for Trump to say to the incoming president, we want you to look into all of these things.
Yes, yeah, I agree. I was thinking about that earlier. Thank you for mentioning that.
Well, because I suspect what we're going to see in these articles as they're written, we're going to see the kind of work we saw from CNN and MSNBC, and it's going to be edited. It's going to be the transcript essentially edited down to fit their narrative and nothing more and nothing less. And I'm telling you, I'm really anxious to see what the wide vote is and how many Democrats are actually on board when they go for a vote.
If you want to get in, we'll get to your calls and comments next. There's just so much to talk about. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. To you we go. Let us go to Joe in Michigan. Joe, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you guys for having me on the air with you. Appreciate it.
You bet.
As you said, I am in one of the battleground states, Michigan. Regarding your poll, it's hard to know whether the anecdotal things we see is a true reflection of the state or only a reflection of the bubble of the portion of the state we're in. But it's important to point out that I am in Wayne County, the population's biggest populace of Michigan. And data we've studied over the last 50 years show that if a Republican candidate for any statewide race, and obviously the presidency is a statewide conducted race, if we just get 30% of the vote, we win that statewide race and could stay red, because in 2016, Trump got 29.6% of the vote in Wayne County, and we barely eked out the win with only 10,000 votes. But I called about the IG report, but yes. I felt it important to say that about your poll.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, again, it's only anecdotal evidence, but hopefully that is indeed a reflection of reality. As to Horowitz and the IG report, him using the quote, consequential errors, unquote, is Comey-like linguistic gymnastics manure to try and set up.
Yeah.
There were consequential things, but, you know, there really shouldn't be any consequences, just like Comey used to dismiss Hillary crimes.
Yeah, right.
Easily convictable, provable, convictable crimes in a court of law.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's a great point. I was thinking about that earlier.
Thanks, Joe.
After seeing Comey speak, I was like, well, wait a minute, you're the one. And with Hillary, obviously, you know, the gross negligence, it's been discussed before. But with Hillary, with the email, we went right to the law.
Right.
Yep. Went to the, you know, the trying to avoid the Freedom of Information Act, which is against the law, and the Espionage Act for putting the server in her home. So... it was obvious. He simply said, well, no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute it because we've never come up with a case like this before. Well, yeah, because no Secretary of State ever put a personal server in their home.
Well, because, I mean, you look at like the very recent history, shallow history of technology itself.
Yes, it didn't. Right. Exactly.
It didn't exist.
No, right.
It is insane because if you look at the and he even admitted, yeah, it's likely that there were, you know, foreign operators and entities that were successful at hacking into that server.
Look, we said this before. Comey was a politician. He really wasn't an investigator.
Right.
If you hear the way that he talks, he doesn't talk like an investigator. That's one of the things that we always said.
He talks weird.
Yeah, he talks weird. He doesn't. I believe we have more of a mindset of an investigator than Comey has, because we're attempting to connect the dots, and we only want to use information that is accurate. If we're going to criticize somebody or indict somebody legally, we want the evidence to be solid.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he didn't come out and say, well, you know, consequential errors, whatever, but all these mistakes mean that we've been exonerated on a FISA warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
As we said, either it shows gross, complete, and total incompetence and the mind of a three-year-old, or the fact that you must look at it and say, well, all the mistakes only favored one direction. Not one mistake favored the opposite direction. So could they actually be mistakes?
Right.
or were they calculated behavior in some way?
Well, it is so painfully obvious now that you, when you read through this report, you know, this is the thing that we warned about Horowitz, is that, look, if you don't have that prosecutorial power, and you really don't have the, you know, the political will to move in that direction, I mean, it's kind of what you would expect from an internal auditor.
Yeah, you don't have subpoena power.
Right. It's exactly. it's a watchdog, really. And right. Oh, okay, here's what I found. And, you know, well, I think everybody wanted it to be the William Barr report. But it wasn't. It wasn't going to be.
No.
And that's what we said. We look, you have to take it and then put the puzzle together and see what was found, those items that were found. Now that you see all these so-called mistakes that they made, each of them worked against Trump. Sorry, not a coincidence.
No,
that's deliberate behavior. Here's your forecast.
We have a sweeping frontal boundary that'll extend through most of the day today from Detroit down to Dallas. Out ahead of the system, you'll see showers and thundershowers in the Ark-La-Tex region through Mississippi and Louisiana, and then up through the Tennessee and Ohio valleys, where it'll change over to mainly all rain without the thunderstorms. This system will move up through the Northeast today, providing rain showers from Indianapolis over to Columbus, Ohio, the entire state of Pennsylvania and New York, and into the New England states. Cold air behind this front over the next several days, especially in the overnight hours, will produce some icing. High pressure for the central and northern plains means clear skies today. There will be high pressure in the desert southwest. Most of the west coast, after a rainy week dry yesterday, can start to expect some more onshore flow, especially for northern California and Seattle and Washington. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Afraid to tussle with the deep state, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary, he's Eric, 86690 Red Eye. Don't start a sentence with "and," Gary. All right, there's the there's a headline here. Hillary Clinton emerges as the top choice of Democratic voters in the Harvard-Harris presidential poll.
Yeah.
Poll finds that Clinton edges Biden and Sanders.
Please make it happen.
She's not running for president yet, but Hillary Clinton was the top choice for Democratic voters in a Harvard-Harris national poll released this week. Clinton drew 21%, followed by former Vice President Joe Biden with 20%. Registered Democrat voters is who they did, who they asked.
Okay.
Placing third, Bernie Sanders at 12%, Elizabeth Warren at 9%, Bloomberg at 7%. You know what it's saying? We're sick of everybody.
Yeah, right. Well, no, I mean, you know, I made the joke the other day. It seems like all of them are falling in the polls. It is interesting, though, because you ask yourself, if Hillary runs, Hillary wants to be escorted essentially straight to the convention and then ushered straight into the White House.
Well, it is her time.
Of course. Well, we've heard that before. You think Bill the next day was just telling her in 2016, I'm sorry, it just wasn't your time.
Oh!
But if I'm with her, or whatever they're going to use, here's the question. Because instantly the Clinton machine would be at work and they would be able to raise, I don't know, couple hundred million probably in a few months' time if they really worked at it. I don't know what, I really don't know how much Bloomberg is willing to spend. But typically, if he doesn't see the results, typically what happens is if people of his wealth mm-hmm. get into something like this, and they don't see those results, then, you know, all right, it's not, if he doesn't get to, you know, double digits in the polls, then, okay, time to bow out. You know, he's kind of playing the game as you go along. We've been told no interest in Iowa, no interest in New Hampshire. The focus will be on southern states and the big states. Well, according to, you know, where he's placing the TV ads. Well, if you look at Hillary, she's going to have to go out. She's not going to have that kind of money just sitting around. Remember, they were broke when they left the White House. They're going to have to go do actual fundraisers. The Clinton machine, the question is the Clinton machine in getting money together still in operation? Can you jumpstart that thing that's been sitting in a barn for 3 years? I don't know that you can, because you're talking about big donors throwing big money at Hillary Clinton with this idea, you know, that she could win. But you're going to look at it as, when you start doing the math on it with your money that you're spending, that you're throwing down the toilet, basically, you have to determine whether she can even get the nomination. Because, man, she's so yesterday's news. And I'm not just saying that about her. There's a number of Democrats that fall into that category. I really don't know if the far left can get on board with Hillary Clinton.
Well, yeah, she's got 21% in the one poll, which means 79% have no excitement about
exactly,
her.
Exactly, right.
So right. That's important. All right, let's head back to you on the IG report and impeachment in general. Let us go to Victor in Kansas City. Victor, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen, or good morning, and great show as usual.
Thanks.
Just a quick note on Hillary. The problem is, the thing is, she is so corrupt that between the Middle East and the Chinese, she could probably raise $1 million in a heartbeat. But I digress. You said never start a sentence with the word "and," but I'm going to here. I'm going to start with the three last words of the Pledge of Allegiance, and justice for all.
There you go.
Okay, four things. Okay. And the thing is that there's going to be those pundits with the IG report, and if this goes to the Senate for the trial, or if this ends up just in Barr's lap, there's going to be pundits and the media out there saying that the American people, you know, they have overload on this, they're sick and tired of investigation after investigation, and the point is that, no, the American people are sick and tired of endless investigations with no prosecution. When you find wrongdoing, prosecute. Don't say, as in the case with Hillary, in my opinion, they said, well, we don't want to have this great stain on America. You know, if we prosecuted a Secretary of State and found her guilty and put her in prison for the wrongdoing that she did, that would be a great stain on the United States. Well, no. That means that there is actually justice for all, which is what the Constitution stands for. The aristocracy does not get a pass just because they're up there ruling over us like practically royalty. And I think that's what the American people want. If you're wrong, you go to prison. That's the way it is. Whether you're the guy on the street selling drugs or the Secretary of State who has a server and wipes it and goes on and there's all sorts of wrongdoing, or the old FBI director who ran a roughshod over a very bad investigation that targeted a presidential election.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, what I look for is the truth. If the American public knows the truth, that's also important, because that helps shape public opinion. The fact is, Hillary Clinton did not become president of the United States. She might not have been put in jail, but she's not president of the United States. So there are consequences to your actions when people, you know, figure out what's going on. It may not be the justice that we always want,
right,
but it does. There are consequences involved in it. Look, the whole impeachment, the whole thing with Trump over the last 2 years, they investigated a non-crime. Nobody even knew what the crime was. Now impeachment has come up, and what you see is it's having its consequences. Right. Independents don't like it.
Right.
And what has happened in that time in the battleground states and in the nation as a whole? Trump is doing a lot better. Yep. His numbers are going up because people are sick and tired. They may be sick and tired when they know that somebody has committed a crime, yet the political elite ensure, and I mean the political elite even in law enforcement and the Department of Justice, refuse to prosecute. But the other thing that they're sick and tired of is if there's nothing there and you prosecute, or if you're trying to set somebody up.
Right.
As for what's going on now, the Inspector General's report got me information, which is now going to Durham and Barr.
Yep.
And it connected more dots.
Yep.
And if any Democrat out there believes that it was a positive day for Democrats yesterday and the Obama administration, you need to read the report.
Yeah.
You need to actually look at the allegations and the actual allegations, the substance of the allegations that have been made all turned out to be true. Adam Schiff lied. The dossier was the key factor in getting the FISA warrant.
Yep.
The dossier was false.
Right.
Exculpatory evidence was left out. Not only exculpatory evidence, but evidence that existed out there was promoted as the opposite of what it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
For example, with Carter Page, he had Russian contacts, and we need to investigate it. Well, those Russian contacts that he had were to help benefit the United States. He was reporting back and helping the country on it.
Right.
And they didn't put it that way.
Right.
And so all across the board, all these mistakes were made. We now know the truth. We now know the truth. It may not be the conclusion based on the fact of, well, I don't have the smoking gun, and therefore I am not going to say that I can say that politics was the reason for it. That's up to the attorney general to do, or another investigation. We'll see how he responds specifically to that when he is asked that question. And Republicans, ask the damn question.
Please. I mean, that's it. It if only to make the point.
Right.
You know, you don't need Horowitz to say it. You just need to make the point from the information that's out there. Right. And I think all of the facts that will come of this, if you look at this report, what we have learned in less than 24 hours, typically from a 500-page report, I go back to the, you know, we were talking about Hillary. I go back to the Republican report, the 800-page Republican report on Benghazi. I think that did some damage, although there was no crime in that one. That was unlike the email scandal. It proved once and for all, well, they had already proven that she lied, but it spelled out exactly what happened behind the lies and how all that played out. And it was despicable behavior. If you look at the 500-page report here, there are so many dots that still haven't been connected. Just look at the ones that already have in less than 24 hours. And the key points from that report, over and over again, they're going to play out in a number of ways. And I just have to wonder, you know, we saw the liberal media kind of starting to call out Joe Biden on Ukraine and his son and his involvement. I think Nancy looked at this and said, look, all this is going to be working against us and we could lose votes. Let's get these articles written. Because what did Nadler say? On Sunday, Nadler said we should have them done, you know, by Thursday. Well, now it looks like they'll have them out later today, Tuesday, and debate will begin as early as Thursday. That tells me they're losing support with some of those moderate Democrats because of some of the things that they're learning. And I think some of the behaviors that is depicted in the Horowitz report probably is having an influence on those moderate Democrats. It is going to be huge, because if you condone that kind of behavior spelled out in the Horowitz report, if you condone, and then you look at what, you pair it with what Biden said on Ukraine over the weekend, it's a loser all the way around. Most of us knew that, but I'm talking about the moderate Democrats in those 30 to 40 districts that right now need to be on board with Nancy and Nadler and Adam Schiff on the vote.
If I was a Republican, got to ask Horowitz a question, I would ask him, said, look, you talked about the low standards, and I would read that quote where he talked about the low standards
right.
as almost a justification. And were you saying this is a justification for what they did? Because also, Mr. Inspector General, you wrote that you identified significant concerns with how aspects of the Trump investigation were conducted and supervised, particularly the FBI's failure to adhere to its own standards of accuracy and completeness.
Right.
Well, since you found so many mistakes, 7 in one FISA warrant and then 10, an additional 17, basically the same warrant to spy on the same guy, 17 mistakes, all working against Carter Page, exculpatory evidence left out, evidence that would take you in one direction mm-hmm. that takes you in another direction, and the promotion of absolutely inaccurate information as being legit. Do you believe that it was complete and totally gross incompetence? Do you believe that it was a pattern of behavior to get to a particular certain goal? You said there was no evidence, for the, you know, political. Are you saying that you simply don't have the documented smoking gun? Because it sure seems to me when you have 17 that any court of law would look at this and any jury would look at it and say, you have 17 mistakes and these are major mistakes in getting a secret warrant. And are you concluding that there was no behavior by a group of people to set a narrative to deceive the FISA court? Or are you saying it just wasn't political? Would that be the question?
Yeah, I mean, because whose standard are you talking about?
Right.
If you're talking about the initial standard for approaching a subject and doing surveillance or opening an investigation, why do you call that? What is your definition of low standards? Is that departmental, or does that have to do with the leadership at the time? Was it a low standard because of those practices and all those mistakes that were made? Why is it that you call it a low standard and then later you talk about them failing the FBI standards and essentially neglecting the FBI standards? Which is it?
Right. And what part, who does that fall on to uphold those standards?
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We will get to your calls and comments. Doug, Brian, Steve, Sean, and more. A lot of people want to get on to talk about both the, it seems like, two articles of impeachment and the Inspector General's report, the two articles of impeachment, which the sources say will be presented today. Maybe a third, but maybe not a third.
Yeah. Do they think maybe just the two will get a quicker right. vote?
No bribery. No bribery.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.